Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Let's begin our worship with our gathering hymn, number 360, We Will Glorify. Number 360, or it's printed in your order of worship, we'll sing the first and third stanzas. Please stand as you're able. Be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather as Murfreesboro Baptist Church to worship God together. We're grateful that you are here and we're glad to have guests in our service today. Thank you for your presence with us as we worship God. If you are a guest, if you'd do us a favor, we'd appreciate it. If you take one of the guest cards in the pew rack and complete that and drop it in the offering plate when it's passed, then we'll know how to get in touch with you if you'd like for us to. But we are glad that you are with us today and pray that our service will be a blessing to you as we worship God together. And we also welcome those joining us by radio or on our live stream or on our YouTube. We're grateful that you are present that way with us as we worship God together today. And if you are looking for church, we'd love to have you come and worship with us here in person at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. There are several things that I want to mention briefly this morning. First of all, welcome to Denise Futrell and to Charles. Denise is filling in for Paula as she is away for her college reunion in Winston-Salem. And so, Denise, we appreciate your presence with us and helping us lead in worship today. At the end of our service today, we'll have a brief quarterly conference that will include vote on the proposed bylaw amendments regarding the timing of our deacon elections. So all of our members, please stay for that. And then youth group is at 5:30 this evening, Wednesday evening, our regular activities with kids club at 6 and choir practice at 6 and then prayer and Bible study at 7. Now today's flowers are given by Booker Daniel in memory of her mother, Gwendolyn Van Daniel. And Booker describes her as the greatest example of a home missionary ever. And that is certainly a wonderful tribute to her memory. Some other things that are going on. This evening at First Baptist Ahoskie at 5 o'clock, they will be having an organ concert. Just so happens that Joanne and I know the organist. Because when we were at Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church in Sanford, he was playing the organ at the Methodist Church right across the street. He also taught at the school where Joanne was teaching as well. He taught music there. Dr. Danny Hester, he teaches music at Campbell now, and he will be there for an organ concert. If you have the opportunity to go to that, it will be a blessing. He is an outstanding organist. Remember that we are showing appreciation for Paula and Teresa. Administrative Assistance Appreciation Day will be on April 24th. Music Ministry Appreciation Day is next Sunday. There are baskets in the hallway outside the office that you can drop a card of appreciation, or if you'd like to give a little gift to show your appreciation, you can place it in those baskets there. And then remember that the first Wednesday evening in May, we'll have Big Wednesday. And that evening, instead of Bible study, Bob Lee is going to give a presentation about some important legal health care items to have in place, things like living will, advanced directives, health care, power of attorney, those kinds of things. So often when people come toward the end of their lives, they don't have those things in place, and it makes it very difficult for the children as they're having to make decisions and those kinds of things. And so one of our members suggested that we do something like that, and so Bob is going to help us with that on that first Wednesday night along with Big Wednesday. So I hope that you'll plan to be here for that. Again, we're glad that you're here as we worship God together this morning. And I would like to invite you to join me for our call to worship. It's Psalm 23, as we read that beautiful psalm together, it continues over on the next page. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Gracious Almighty God, as we gather to worship you in this season of Eastertide, we come into your presence with gratitude for all you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we focus on him today as our good shepherd, remind us how he has laid down his life for us, his sheep, and then took it up again as he rose from the dead. As we worship you and reflect on these great truths, may we be comforted, encouraged, chastised, and challenged as your people, the sheep of your pasture. In the name of our risen Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 349, To God Be the Glory, 349. Children come for the children's sermon now. And we got one coming from upstairs. All right. There he is. How y'all doing? Good, good. All right. Well, brought a couple of things with me today. Years ago, we had a young man who was attending our church that went to the Holy Land, and he brought a little gift back for me. What is that? Can you tell? A what? All right, a shepherd with a lamb on his shoulders, right? Yeah, that's carved from olive wood from the Holy Land. And he brought that back as a gift for me. And so that was very special to me. Now, the early Christians, they really liked the image of Jesus as the good shepherd. In fact, some of the earliest Christian art that we have, this is the oldest Christian art that has been discovered. And can you see what that is? A good shepherd. Yeah, a shepherd with a lamb on his shoulder. Yeah. And then here's one from a few centuries later that you can see a little better. Okay. All right. Now, whenever Jesus was teaching, one day he told the people, I am the good shepherd. In fact, let me read that for you. It's in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, what does a shepherd do? Okay, Jack?
Takes care of the sheep.
Yeah, he takes care of the sheep. Exactly. Takes care of the sheep. What are some of the things that a shepherd does as he takes care of the sheep? Okay. Protects them from wolves. Okay, Gabriel, what did you say? He takes care of them. Yeah, he makes sure that he leads them to places where they can graze on grass because that's what they like to eat. And takes them where, make sure where they can get water, right? Yeah. So he leads them to green pastures. He leads them to places where they can drink water. And you know, they're not the smartest animals. And sometimes they wander off. And when they wander off, they can't find their way back. So what does the shepherd have to do? Go find them and bring them back. And when their wool is getting thick before they're sheared, sometimes a sheep will fall over, and it's trying to get back up, it'll end up rolling on its back. That's called a cast sheep. Have you ever seen a bug that's over on his back and he's kicking his legs in the air trying to get back up, but he can't? Well, the sheep do like that. And the shepherd has to help them get back up on their feet. And then he brings them back home, back to the flock. And as we already said, they're not able to defend themselves, so somebody has to protect them from wolves and bears and lions in that day, in that area. Well, as I said, Jesus said that he is our good shepherd. And he said that he laid down his life for his sheep. And then he took it up again when he rose from the dead. And so, aren't you glad that Jesus is our good shepherd and that he cares for us and leads us? I am. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are our good shepherd, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you lead us and guide us and that you protect us. And Father, I pray that each of these children will know you and follow you and trust in you, and that they will follow the good shepherd in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Today's first reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Thank you, Sarah. We come now to our prayer time. And in your bulletin, you find our prayer list. And so please take note of those folks and their needs as we join together in prayer. We also have been asked to pray for Sherry Cook and Joan Grizzard. Continue to remember them as well. And we certainly want to remember our country and our leaders, and especially all of the critical situations going on in the world with warfare in so many different places and the potential of that expanding. So let's join together in prayer now. And we'll have a moment of silence, and I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Merciful and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for all that you've done for us, especially the mercy and grace that you've shown us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that just as you had promised your people Israel in times past in the Old Testament, you sent him to be our good shepherd, to rescue us from sin and deliver us from destruction, to make us lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, and to lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you for his protection when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and for the assurance that your goodness and mercy pursue us all the days of our lives. We thank you for the material blessings you lavish on us as well, your provision for our needs, your help in our trials, and the joys of family and friends and meaningful work and relaxing play that honors you. But Lord, we also come with our thanksgivings to make our requests known to you. And so hear us as we lift our petitions and intercessions to you, Lord. We pray for peace and justice in the world. Father, so much of the world is racked by violence, by warfare, by unrest, and we ask that you would intervene in these situations, Lord. We pray that innocent civilians would be protected, and Father, we pray that the wars would be over soon, and that justice would be done. We pray, Father, for those who are oppressed and those who are persecuted for their faith, for those, Father, who are going through other kinds of trials and difficulties. We pray for your church throughout the world, and we pray, Lord, for missionaries wherever they are serving, that you would work through them and that you would use them to turn many hearts to Christ. We pray, Lord, for your church here in Murfreesboro, especially here, Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the love and the unity that we experience in Christ. We thank you, Father, for the love for the community that this church has. And we pray that you will help us to be a shining light and to bear a winsome witness to the community around us so that those who don't know you may be pointed to you, may hear the good news of how they can trust in you and follow you. And Lord, that many will come to know you and become a part of your church, and that your name would be honored and glorified in all this. Father, we pray for our country, for our state and our county and our town. We pray, Lord, for our leaders at all levels. We know that in many situations there is so much polarization and rancor. Lord, we pray for those in leadership that you will help them to make wise decisions, that you will help them to make right decisions, and Father, that you will give them courage to do what is right. Lord, we know that there are those who are traveling, and we pray that you would watch over and keep them. We know, Father, that we have many who endure physical and spiritual needs, sometimes needs of the heart, sometimes needs of the mind. We ask your blessings and your help for them, Lord. And we know, Father, that there are those who are grieving because of the deaths of loved ones, that sometimes that is from a recent grief. Sometimes, Lord, it's from a loss that happened long ago. Lord, we pray for them and pray your special comfort and strength for them, that you'd watch over them and keep them. We pray, Father, for those who don't know you. We pray, Lord, for those who may know you but have wandered away. And Lord, we pray that our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, would go after them and bring them back once again. And so, as we lift our prayers to you now, Father, may all glory be to you in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, our good risen Good Shepherd, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. Lord, as we lift our prayers now in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us, hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 65, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. Number 65.
Thank you.
And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, giver of all good gifts, you gave us your greatest gift when you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus, to show us your ways and to die on the cross for us, and then raised him from the dead in vindication and victory. Just as he willingly laid down his life for us, may we lay down ourselves and the possessions you've entrusted to us, to you and for you. Help us to give a sacrificial portion to you with cheerful and generous hearts to support the work of your kingdom through this church, knowing that you love a cheerful giver. Through Christ our risen Lord we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our text this morning will come from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and we'll read there in just a few moments. But let's begin with prayer. And now, Lord, as we come to look into your word, we are grateful for it. We're grateful for what it teaches us about you and about what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as we look into your word this morning, and as we think about Jesus' teachings here, that you will guide us, that you will open our minds and our hearts to receive what you would say to us. And Lord, that we would grow deeper in our relationship with him. We pray these things now in his strong name. Amen. Picture it in the land of Israel nearly 2,000 years ago. A mostly barren hillside dotted by grayish-white sheep grazing there. Though it's barren, there are tufts of grass, and those sheep are finding those tufts of grass. They're nibbling on it and enjoying it. And as they eat their fill, the shepherd who led them there is quietly standing watch over them to protect them. And after a while, he'll lead them to a pool of water or to a well where there's a watering trough so that they can quench their thirst. With staff in hand, he faithfully cares for his sheep, calling each one of them by name, leading them safely through the rocky passes of the hill country to food and water, all the while guarding them to protect them from predators and other dangers. Now, it's a sight that we'd never see here in North Carolina, particularly here in northeastern North Carolina. But this relationship between a shepherd and his sheep was very special. And if you go today to Israel and Jordan, you'll still see shepherds caring for their sheep on the hillside, only now it's mostly Bedouins who care for them. But a shepherd would know his sheep very, very closely. He'd be able to tell them from one another. He'd put them in a sheepfold or a pen at night with the sheep of other shepherds, and when he'd go the next morning, he'd be able to call by name his sheep, and they would come out from among the others and follow him, and they wouldn't follow anybody else. It's a powerful picture. It's one that spoke to people who knew all about shepherds and sheep in the ancient world. But it still speaks powerfully to us today, even if we've never seen a real shepherd. After all, for nearly 3,000 years, believers have found comfort and strength in those words that we read together earlier in our service today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We find such peace in those words. And this shepherd image is used time and again in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, in the accounts of the Exodus by the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah. It's no wonder then that our text for today in John chapter 10, that there Jesus described his relationship with his people using the image of a shepherd and his sheep. And as he did, he identified himself as the good shepherd, the good shepherd. So listen to how he paints this beautiful picture and lays out its meaning and significance. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Jesus' hearers that day would have readily identified with this image that he was using. It was part of their everyday life. It was part of the fabric of the religious expression and the identity of Israel. And yet, John tells us they didn't get it at first. When he first started talking about shepherds and sheep, it didn't click with them. Well, sometimes it's helpful to us to know a little bit about the background of how Scripture was first heard. And in this case, the timing was important. It was early winter when the shepherds would be starting, instead of keeping watch over their flock by night out in the fields, they would bring their sheep into the villages at night. And they would put them in the sheep pen or the sheep fold. And these pens were usually built next to a building or next to a house. And as many as four or five shepherds would bring their flocks and put them all together in that one pen. And then the next morning, as someone had stood watch over them by night to protect them from thieves or bandits, then the next morning the shepherds would come. They would start calling their sheep and singing. And amazingly, those sheep that belonged to them would start coming out from among the rest of them and come right to him and follow him. Well, Gerald Borchert, in his commentary on this passage, tells about seeing a modern-day shepherd do that very thing. His sheep were in with the combined flocks of four shepherds, and so he came and he sang and called, and his sheep came out from among them and followed him. He actually saw it happen. Jesus describes this picture, contrasting the true shepherd of the sheep with the thieves and bandits who tried to enter the sheepfold some other way because the gatekeeper wouldn't open the gate to them. He'd only open it to the real shepherds. Now, we know it was winter because John tells us so in verse 22. It was at the Feast of Dedication, he tells us a little later on in this passage. And the Feast of Dedication is what we know as Hanukkah, which is the Jewish holiday that's always celebrated close to Christmas. And that the significance of that holiday is it celebrates the cleansing and the rededication of the temple after it had been defiled by the Seleucid leader Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He was trying to force everyone, including the Jews, to adopt Greek customs, dress, religion, everything. And there were a lot of the chief priests who were agreeing with it. They were going along with it. But then there was this one priest, Mattathias, I'm sorry. Judas was his son. Mattathias resisted. And he led a revolt. And they recaptured Jerusalem and recaptured the temple. And they cleansed it and rededicated it. And that's what's celebrated at Hanukkah. Now, there was also a scriptural background here as well, because the scholars tell us that the Jews apparently followed a lectionary for their scripture readings and their synagogue services, like we follow a lectionary for our readings. And the lectionary assigned lessons for each Sabbath over a 3-year cycle, much like ours. And they included Old Testament passages about shepherds and sheep. And they called to mind other passages with this theme. The shepherd image is present in the Psalms, it's present in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and in other books. The one background passage that especially seems to be prominent here was Ezekiel 34, which is about bad shepherds. Bad shepherds. And how the Lord condemns those unfaithful shepherds and declares that He will Himself shepherd His people Israel and set up His servant David as their shepherd and their prince. And that's a clear reference to the coming Messiah. And so against this backdrop, Jesus talks to the people about the good shepherd who enters the sheepfold and calls his sheep by name and leads them out to find pasture, but the people don't get it. And so he tells them, I am the gate for the sheep. He's the means of entry, the way that they can go in and out. He says in verse 9, I'm the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. In other words, as the gate of the sheep, Jesus provides access and protection and provision. He's caring for the sheep. He's the way to life, or as he would later say in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. George Beasley Murray put it this way. He said, Jesus is the door to the life of the kingdom of God, which is given to those who come to the Father through Him. Now, all this is in contrast to the thief, because why does the thief come? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said that on the other hand, He had come to give His sheep life. And to give it to them abundantly. One translation says, to the full. Life that is amazing. Now it's interesting how Jesus says, I'm the gate. Because the way the Greek puts it is very emphatic. You could translate it, I myself am the gate. There are at least 7 I am sayings from Jesus in the gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life in chapter 6, the light of the world in chapter 8, the resurrection and the life in chapter 11, the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14, the true vine in chapter 15, and then here in our text, I am the gate for the sheep and I am the good shepherd. So is John doing something more here than just emphasis? Absolutely. He's making a connection with what God told Moses when Moses asked, when I go to your people, who am I to tell them sent me? And God's response was, I am who I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. And over and over and over, Jesus says, I am. And this also corresponds to Ezekiel 34, where the Lord says that He Himself will shepherd His people. Well, then Jesus draws the connection even tighter as He goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And all this is in contrast to the hired hand. Now, He's contrasted Himself to the thief. Now He's contrasting Himself to the hired hand because He says that the hired hand leaves when the sheep comes because he doesn't own them. He's just been hired to take care of them. And so they leave the sheep when the wolf comes. But Jesus is the good shepherd who knows His sheep and they know Him just as the Father knows Him and He knows the Father. And because He knows and is known by the Father, He lays down His life for the sheep. And then He goes on to say that He has other sheep that are not of this fold, and He'll bring them so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus has authority to lay down His life, and He has authority to take it up again because He received this command from His Father. And that tells us that he is not only our good shepherd, he is our risen, living shepherd. Our risen shepherd. Now, all this is a powerful description of our Lord's relationship with his people, isn't it? Jesus, our risen shepherd, knows his sheep, and through his sacrificial death and his resurrection, he gives them abundant life. He's our living and our life-giving shepherd. Think about that. Think about that. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. He knows us and he calls us by name. A Sunday school teacher in Oklahoma City told about some children who were learning the Lord's Prayer, but some of them were having difficulty with the first couple of lines. And one of them prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven, how do you know my name?" But think about that. Aren't you astounded that he knows your name? I am. I am that he knows mine. He knows us by name. And he knows all about us, the good and the bad and the ugly and the deepest depths of our hearts. He not only knows about us, but he knows us in a relational way. He's made himself known to us so that we know him, and we hear his voice, and we follow him. And because we know it's his voice, we know he'll lead us in his way. Jesus laid down his life and he took it up again for his sheep. He came to bring us life. And in doing so, he laid down his own life. But then he took it up again in his resurrection so that we might have eternal life. We find this life by simply trusting him, just as a sheep trusts its shepherd to lead it and care for it and provide for it and protect it. Jesus knows his sheep. He laid down his life for his sheep and took it up again. And Jesus gives his sheep abundant life. Life that is eternal, overflowing, more than we need. When we say eternal life, the Greek literally says the life of the ages. It's the life of the age to come that we already begin to enjoy now in this present age. Eternal life. James Montgomery Boyce said that we are saved, safe, and satisfied in Jesus. Saved, safe, and satisfied. Think about that. In him we find true salvation, true safety, true joy, true fullness, and genuine fulfillment. Now, as I shared with the children earlier this morning, some of the earliest works of Christian art that have survived depict Jesus as a good shepherd. This was obviously one of the favorite images of Christ for early Christians, and it still is for many of us today. I mean, after all, this good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen shepherd, he knows us as his sheep. He laid down his life for us. He took it up again, and he gives us abundant life. No wonder so many have found such comfort and encouragement in this beautiful image. Because you see, he's not only our shepherd who's leading us through this life, as the 23rd Psalm in John 10 so beautifully put it. That would be amazing enough. That would be astounding enough. It would be so much more than we deserve, wouldn't it? But John tells us in Revelation chapter 7 that those in heaven who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb worship and serve God around his throne as he shelters them with his presence. and that the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And brothers and sisters and friends, to that I say thanks be to God for our good shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd. Father, so many times as your sheep, we wander off, or we get cast, or we do stupid things, and yet you love us, and you care for us, and you go and you bring us back, and you guide us, and you teach us, and you provide for us, and you protect us. Thank you for being our shepherd. Father, we pray that you'll make this image more real to us than ever, that we will be strengthened by it, comforted by it, and encouraged by it. And Lord, that you will train us to focus on your voice, to shut out the voice of other shepherds, to shut out the voice of the thieves and bandits, to shut out the voice of those who would try to lead us astray, and that instead we will follow you. Help us to be faithful disciples. Help us to be faithful members of your flock. And Lord, if there are those who hear this sermon today, whether in this sanctuary or on the radio or on the internet, who have never followed Jesus, may they hear your voice today, and may they follow him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 64, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." I don't know how God may be speaking to you this morning. Maybe he's speaking comfort. Maybe he's speaking challenge because you've been one of those sheep that wanders off too much. I don't know what your needs are this morning, but I do know that right where you are, you can speak to God in your heart, and he'll hear you, and you can make whatever commitment he's calling you to make. If you need to share that, we invite you to come and do that as we sing. And if you've never put your faith in him, today, is he calling you? Do you hear his voice calling you? Will you come and follow him? You can make that commitment right where you are. Or if you need guidance, you can come, and we'll be glad to help you. But once you make that commitment, you need to let others know about it. And we encourage you to do that this morning as we stand and sing number 64, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." service today. We've been so glad to have you and hope that you'll come and worship with us again. Remember that after the postlude, we will have a brief church conference. Murfreesboro members, please be sure to stay for that. And our guests, you can remain. We'd love to have you remain, but if you feel like you need to slip on out, you're welcome to do that after the postlude. So let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that Jesus is our shepherd. Help us always to follow him, always to be in his care, always to be seeking to obey him. Bless us as we go forward from this place today. May our lives always bring you honor and glory. May we be faithful sheep of your pasture. And as you go today, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.